All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Good morning, Afreilich and Purim. Let us begin. We begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Basiu the Leib. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zechariah ben Zechariah and Dina Bas Pesach. Mr. and Mrs. Shmuel Artman and Mr. and Mrs. Moshe David Artman for dedicating the Shiurim this week. Liz Ili Nishmas, or Lizekha Nishmas, their father's 20th yard site, Fishel Ben Yitzchak Gershon. To thank our sponsors of this morning, Shir Natan and Leah Berry, in the merit of Arafu Shlima for Yosefa Miriam Basgiza Chana, and the Applebaum family, in gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing us to our new home. Beautiful. You open the merit of our Talmud Torah. All the neshamos will have an aliyah, the families a nechama, and all those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Nebosi, with that, let us begin. So we are picking up Emir Tzashem. We are picking up on the bottom, towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Today's daf is Dalit 4, the beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. And we're picking up Umidalo Kamashaninon. So we're picking up, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up on the bottom. So if you remember again, just to reorient ourselves very quickly, Abaye asked the Shaila. And Abaye's Shaila was, now that we established that a person's hand does not follow the position of their body. In other words, we've established based on the Mishnah that even if I'm standing in the Rishus HaYochid, that doesn't automatically mean that my hand is afforded the status of Rishus HaYochid. For example, right, this is the case in Mishnah. The Ani standing in Rishus HaRabim, and his hand is extended into the Rishus HaYochid. So we see that even though his body is positioned in the private domain, his hand takes on a different status. The raya to that, of course, is that technically speaking, if the Balabayas goes ahead and put, or if, I should say, if the Balabayas puts something into it, and the Ani pulls it out, the Ani will be chayiv. If his hand was like the Rishus HaRabim, then he should not be chayiv for any kind of hotzah. So therefore, the Gemara wanted to suggest, or Abayi was asking, perhaps the hand essentially takes on a different kind of status. Perhaps the hand essentially becomes like a karmelis. So again, we'll spend more time focusing on the actual definition of a karmelis, but for our purposes, for the sake of the shir now, the karmelis ultimately is defined as an area which resembles a Rishus HaRabim, but ultimately, again, is not a true Rishus HaRabim. So it's another way of Abaye saying that maybe halacha lemaisa, the hand, just has its own independent status. So the Gemara brought up this interesting idea from the fact that a situation where if a person extends his hand, right? If a person extends his hand, and let's say he's standing in his home, hand is Malaya Peros, he extends his hand out, is he permitted to retract his hand back on Shabbos? So the Gemara made an interesting distinction. This is in yesterday's daf. The Gemara made an interesting distinction between whether or not he went ahead and extended his hand Miba O Yom before Shabbos started versus after Shabbos started. So we're picking up, the Gemara says, the fact that ultimately, again, we did not go ahead and say it is better for him to extend his hand back, to allow himself to extend his hand back, when halacha lemaisa, he extended it on Shabbos. Because if he extended it on Shabbos, and we don't allow him to go ahead and bring it back, so what's going to be his alternative? He has two alternatives. Alternative number one is keep his hand extended the entire Shabbos. Okay, possible, not probable. So what's going to end up happening? He's going to end up dropping the object, which effectively means he's going to end up going ahead and performing an act of hotzah. So would it not be preferable for him to bring his hand back, even though bringing his hand back will be somewhat problematic? Is that not better, to do something somewhat problematic than to do something definitively problematic? The fact that we do not allow him to do that indicates to us something. Tifshot Rabbi Barabaye. The Rabbi Barabaye, Bosa, is a fascinating case, which we're going to focus on again on Dalit as well. Hidbik paspatanor, hitiru alirdosa kolim shavu ledehiru, chatos alo hitiru. Bosa, isn't this an interesting case? The halacha is, you are not permitted to bake bread on Shabbos. Okay, so all of us know that, right? That is going to be the malacha of afia, the malacha of baking. So what happens in the event that a person went ahead and put, the way they used to bake bread is they used to take dough and they would stick it on the side of the oven. Stick it on the side of the oven. So we'll see what happens in the following situation. A person goes ahead and we'll discuss the parameters of the case. But let's say a person goes ahead and sticks bread on the side of the oven on Shabbos. He then realizes what he did. So is he allowed to go back and pull the bread off the side of the oven before the bread bakes. So let's analyze. What's that play over here? So we'll say, obviously, if the bread bakes, he's violated one of the lamedes melachos of afia, of baking. But there is a rabbinic prohibition to remove bread from an oven on Shabbos. We'll discuss that. The truth is, it's logical because it has the appearance ultimately of engaging in baking. So here's the shaila. If I do nothing, I end up violating the malacha of afia, of baking. So the question is, do we allow the individual to perform a smaller rabbinic prohibition, i.e. removing the bread from the oven, in order to go ahead and save himself from a greater prohibition, i.e. afia? So the Gemara says, you see from here, from the previous situation, that the answer to that question is no. Because they're both the same way that, what did we say? That if the person is standing in his home, his hand is filled with fruit, he extends his hand from his home to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what did we say? If he did that on Shabbos, what's halacha? We don't allow him to pull his hand back. And they're both like, wouldn't it be so much better to tell him to pull his hand back? Because pulling his hand back, at most, is going to be perhaps rabbinic, right? Whereas if he ends up dropping something in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's what? It's biblical. It's otzah. But yet we don't allow him to do that. So that would indicate to us that what? That Allah Chalamai says similarly in a case where one went ahead and put bread in an oven and let's say then realized what it is that he did, that we would not allow him to go ahead and go back and remove the bread from the oven. In other words, that Allah Chalamai says we don't allow one to go out of their way and actively perform a smaller prohibition in order to save themselves from a larger prohibition. To which the Gemara says, Tifsha Deloitiru, Halo Kasha. The Gemara says, you're right, this is not a Kasha of a Tifsha. Indeed, this is the case. So we'll say we're going to revisit the bread case in just a moment, but the Gemara sounds like it's saying over here that indeed, that is true, that we will not allow the individual to violate a smaller prohibition, remove the bread from the oven in order to save themselves from a greater prohibition of baking on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Vibai Sim, the other possibility is, Leolam lo Tifshot. The truth is, don't bring up the bread in the oven case and don't learn anything definitively from here. Lokashya kan beshogi kan amazed. So we'll say it's not a contradiction. In the two cases is when a person extended his hand beshogi, we allow him to bring it back, but bemezid we don't allow. Beshogi lo kanso rabanan, bemezid kanso rabanan. Vibayisim. The other possibility is idi beshogi. Both are cases of shogeg, where an individual inadvertently extended his laden hand from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what's the nafkamina between the cases? V'halcha, b'kansu shogig atu mezid kamiflagi. And I both say, fundamental machlokes, do we penalize an individual in a case of shogig, lest he come to a case of mezid? Mar savar, kansu shogig atu mezid, umar savar lo kansu shogig atu mezid. So I both say, more fundamental machlokes, do we penalize an individual in a case of a shogeg transgression, lest he come to a mezid transgression? So one opinion says yes, one opinion says no. Vibayisim, the other possibility is, leolam lo kansu, velo kasha, kan lo osa chatzer, top of dalid, kan le chatzer acheres. So we'll say it's possible that the two brisos are dealing with two different cases. One is where the individual goes ahead, extends his hand, and potentially brings his hand back into the same chatzer. One is where he brings it into a different chatzer. So the Gemara says, what's that distinction? Watch this. If a person's hand was filled with peros, remember again, the individual is standing in Rishus HaYochid, and he's extending his hand out to Rishus HaRabim. So, Maulach Zir La'osa Chatzar. So, we'll say, so again, this is our case. I'm standing in Rishus HaYochid. My hand is filled with fruit. I extend my hand out into Rishus HaRabim. So, we'll say, so the halach is, Maulach Zir La'osa Chatzar. Can I bring my hand back into the same Chatzar that I am standing in? Amar Lei Mutter. Say, responded, so Rav Nachman responded, it is Mutter. L'chatzar acheres, mahu. What happens if you want to go ahead and move your hand into a different chatzar? What's the halacha? Amar Lei Aser. He said that's Aser. Mostly, watch this distinction in this case. According to Rav Nachman, the halacha is as follows. If you extend your hand out from one chatzar, and now it's in a different rishos, and you want to pull it back into into the same chatzar, Rav Nachman will say, it's okay. Same chatzar means the one that you're standing in. It's okay. You want to empty it into a different chatzar? Rav Nachman says, it's not okay. Says the Gemara, what's the distinction? So why the distinction? So Rava asked Rav Nachman, why the distinction? So Rav Nachman answers back, like in a joking fashion, L'chitecho ala kura demilcha. So when you go ahead, Rashi points out over here, when you sell me a kur of salt. So apparently that's like that was Talmudic lashon of joking around. You know, when you sell me a kur of salt, I'll tell you the answer. So we'll say, what's the answer? Hasam lo is avida machshavto. Hacha is avida machshavto. We'll say, fascinating. When you go ahead and you pull your hand back into the same chutzar, so halacha lemaisa, your original intent did not materialize. Generally, right, when you go ahead and you extend your hand from one domain to another, what's your intention? Your intention is to transfer items from point A to point B. So when you bring your hand back into the same chutzar with the fruit, your intentions of hotzah have not materialized. Because they've not materialized, therefore, technically speaking, it's mutter. Masha'en kein, when you go ahead and you transfer those items to a different chatzar, your intentions have materialized, right? Because at the end of the day, your goal, your intention, was to move the items from point A and get them out. At the end of the day, you got them out, and therefore it'd be awesome. So we'll say, that's the approach that Rav Nachman takes. So we'll say, so therefore again, in Abaye's situation, what does become clear is that the hand does take on a little bit of its own unique identity, right? So even though the body is standing in one rishus, the hand does not automatically retain that same rishus identity. That's clear. The full nature of the hand and the identity of the hand will become, we're not finished with that. But suffice to say, at least for Abaye's issue, we found a number of different ways of answering up the different prices. But I will say, now what we're going to do is, we're going to take each of these answers and we're going to dissect them. And here we come to a riveting sugya. So watch this. Gufa. But say, this is incredible, and you're going to see that this is really exceptional. So we'll say, this is the case we mentioned before. Gufa. By Rabbi Barabaye. Hidbik pas betanur. So remember again, we just had this case before. Person goes ahead. Now watch this case. It's Shabbos. I'm taking dough. I stick it on the side of the oven. I'm supposed to say, now, if you're ever in Israel and you ever go like to Eretz Bereishit, you know, like that, you know, that we recreate the tent of Avraham Avinu. So you can go ahead and you can actually do this, right? You break bread there. So you take a little piece of bread, you stick it on the side of the oven, and that's how they bake. It's incredible. So that's what's happening over here. A person goes ahead and takes a dough, sticks it on the side of the oven. So watch this. Hitiru lo lirdosa kodem shiyavo lidechi evchatos olo hitiru. So we'll say, watch this case. Afia, baking on Shabbos, is one of the 39 malachos. So Shabbos morning comes, I take a piece of dough, I stick it on the side of the oven. Now we'll discuss the parameters of how exactly I did this, but now I realize what I did. So now the question is as follows. If I leave that dough there, it's going to bake. It's going to become bread. If it becomes bread, I have violated the malacha. If I violate the malacha, assuming that I've done this b'shogeg, I'm chai v'chatos, the carbon chatos. So the shaila now is, can I go and remove the dough from the oven before it bakes off? As I mentioned before, removing dough from an oven is a rabbinic prohibition, right? Mechzikim avashal has the appearance of cooking. We don't allow you to do these kinds of things, but it's certainly not Issa d'Oraisa. So can I violate a smaller Issa d'Rabbanan in order to go ahead and save myself from violating a larger Issa d'Oraisa? Let's define what's the case. So if you want to say it's a case where the individual put the dough in the oven and he didn't realize what he did, then I will say if he didn't realize what he did, laman hitiru, then he has no awareness of what's going on. If he has no awareness of what's going on, then what? Then who exactly are you permitting to go ahead and remove the dough from the oven? Look at Rashi. Velo itker, kol demafia al shigagos, o shishabes, o shemalachas, o asura, lema hitiru, halo masik adaite lavo lishoel alkach. So we'll say, if we're talking about an individual who is totally unaware of what it is that he's doing, if he's unaware, then he's unaware. He's not going to know to ask the shayla. So what's the case? Ve'alalav, di'i hader ve'itker. Rather, it must be where what? Where originally, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven went ahead and put the dough in the oven, had no awareness of what it is that he did, and then what? Subsequently becomes aware of the prohibited nature of his actions. So we'll say in a case like that, mi mechayiv, does a person become chayiv? Ultimately, again, for a chatos in such a situation, after all, we learned v'hatnan, kol chayvei chataos Einon chayavin ad shetei tchilasan shgaga v'sofan shgaga. Both say, in general, the halacha is you only chayav achatas if what? If you're shogeg the whole way through. The whole way through. So both say, in this situation, if you're telling me that a person realizes that he did something wrong, then but before the act was committed, then ultimately, again, that's not a chayav chatas. So both say, in other words, the paradigmatic example of chatas, which is the way you chayav chatas is if you end up performing an act inadvertently and you only find out about the prohibited nature of your act when? After it's already done. But if this case, if you're telling me that Reuven put the dough in the oven and before it bakes off, he realizes that what he did was wrong, then under those circumstances, you're not chay v'chatos. To which the Gemara says, so what's the case? Ella b'mezid. Interesting. So maybe the case is where Reuven put the dough in the oven, b'mezid. B'mezid. To which the Gemara says, so now what is this? What does this mean? Watch this. So the mezid means like this. Reuven put the dough in the oven, b'mezid. And then what happens? He does tshuva. Let's say everybody does tshuva. Everybody does tshuva. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out in the opening chapter of the Rambam, where the Rambam says, Hilchos tshuva, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Kishayas tshuva, v'yashuv mecheto, chayiv lehisvados. When a person is very, is in Yonei Dioma. You know, this is Mamish Purim, is Yom Kippurim. And today is a day of tshuva. Every day is a day of tshuva, but today especially. So the Rambam says, Kishayas tshuva, v'yashuv mecheto, chayiv lehisvados. When a person does tshuva, and ultimately again decides to return from his sin, he's chayiv to do vidui. So Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, he says, why does the Rambam say, Kishi yaseh tshuva? When a person does tshuva, it should say what? Im yaseh tshuva. If a person, so the Rav says, you see from here, everyone does tshuva. It's not a shayla of im yaseh tshuva. It's only a shayla of what? When. He says, life is a circle. And he says, the only variable is his lashon in ala tshuva, is it a radius anaki? Right? Is it a large radius or a small radius? But at the end of the day, everyone does tshuva. Some of us are tshuva late bloomers, right? And some of us, again, recognize even when we're young that we need to go ahead and change our ways. Some of us recognize when we're young but don't find the courage to act on that resolve until we're older. Some of us don't find the realization until we're older, but everyone does tshuva. So I'll say, so where do you see this from? It's a Mefurashe Gemara, Meseches Daled, Shabbos, right? That says what? This individual put the dough in the oven, b'mezid. What's going to happen? What's inevitably going to happen? He's going to do tshuva. He's going to do tshuva. The only shaila is he's going to do tshuva before the dough bakes off or after the dough bakes off. So what happens? So we'll say in this case over here, he does tshuva before the dough bakes off. So he put the dough in the oven. He realizes, oy vavoy, what did I do? So we'll say, now watch this. If that's the case, so we'll say, so now the shaila would be, he didn't actually make it. Do we allow him to go ahead and remove the dough from the oven or not? So we'll say, so interestingly enough, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Kodem shiyavo lidei chiyav iser skila mi baile. They're both saying, remember again, the wording of the braisa was hidbik pas betanor hitiro lo lirdosa kodem shiyavo lidei chiyav chatos. Right? The shayla, the way the braisa was phrased was, if somebody put dough in the oven, does he have the right to take it out before it generates a chiyav chatos? Chatos is only brought when? Shogeg. If you're telling me that this is a case, excuse me, of mezid, then halacha lemaisa, the shayla should be phrased as what? Can he take it out of the oven before it comes to a chiyuv skila? Because if a person intentionally violates Shabbos, there's a chiyuv skila. So the wording is wrong. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shila, the olam b'shogeg. So Rav Shila says, you're right. In reality, we're talking about a shogeg. So wow, watch this, I will say, watch this. So remember again, beforehand, we dismissed the shogeg possibility. Because they're both saying, if he's shogig, then what? If he's shogig, and he doesn't know, then he doesn't know at all. If he realizes what he did before the bread baked off, then what? Then what? That's not a chiyuv chatos. Because chatos is only generated when? When the entire act happens with a lapse of awareness. So watch this. Rav Shila says it's shogig. So they're both saying, who is the shayla for? Get ready for this. Ulamana tiru, who are we asking if they have a permission to go ahead and remove the dough? La'cherim. Both say, watch this. I see Reuven put the dough in the oven on Shabbos. I recognize he just, whatever, either he forgot at Shabbos or he didn't know that baking dough is asr on Shabbos. So now what's the shayla? I see him do something wrong. So what's the shayla? Can I go ahead and go and remove the dough from the oven in order to save him from violating an Isser. So we'll say, here we go. So says the Gemara, Maskif la Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, what are you talking about? V'chi omrim lo li adam chatei, k'dei sheyiska chavercha. Rabbi say, do we ever say to one person, Ruvain, you commit an avera, so everyone else can benefit? Look at Rashi. V'chi omrim lo li adam tsei v'chatei, iser kal, k'dei shlo yischayiv chavercha onesh chamer. Rabbi say, do we ever say such a thing, that we say to Ruvain, or in this case, Shimon, commit an avera, so that Ruvain will be saved from an avera? Or say a little bit differently, Shimon, commit a lesser avera, so that ultimately again Ruvain will be saved from a greater avera. So we'll say, so does it make sense to say that we're going to tell Shimon, go take the dough out of the oven, so that Ruvain should be saved ultimately again from the chiyuv chatos? Would we ever say such a thing like that? So we'll say, so the Gemara takes it for granted that of course. The answer to that is Rabbi Bosai. You understand, of course, the incredible dramatic timing of this Gemara. Rabbi Bosai, is this not the story of Purim? Esther Hamalka saves Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, again, through what? Through what the Gemara calls an Avera Lishma. When Mordechai tells her to go to the king. So she says, I haven't been summoned to the king. And then she says, but I'll go. And remember again those tragic words, V'chasher avadati, avadati. And the Gemara explains that ultimately, again, if you go with the Girsa that Esther was married to Mordechai. See, even though she was living with Achashverosh, the Gemara discusses a whole idea of Karka Olam. But if she goes ahead and she willingly initiates contact with the king, V'chasher avadati, avadati, then our marriage is over. And the Gemara has a whole discussion about how Esther Malkut, Yeharik Vayavor, to which the Gemara says, Hatzolot de Klal Shaini, there is a concept of an Aveir Lishma. So it's amazing. So the Gemara says, we never tell someone to sin so that someone else could benefit. So we'll say, except ultimately again when it's the Klal. That is the story of Purim. The story of Purim is someone sinning, someone committing an Avera, or an Avera Lishma, an Avera ultimately for the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael. Incredible. So the Gemara says, we'll say, but again, for Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara says, we don't do that. We're not going to have someone remove the dough, which is a rabbinic prohibition, in order to save someone else for a biblical prohibition. So Rav Ashi says, you're right. What's the case? The case is where the individual is putting the dough in, b'mezid. So Rabbi says, so what's going on over here? Ve'ema, kodem shiyavo lidei iser skila. And Ena Chinami changed the gears of the case. And the case should say that if an individual went ahead and put bread in the tanur, so is he permitted to go ahead and remove it? Kodem shiyavo lidei iser skila. Good. So we'll say, so that's ultimately against. Therefore, the Gemara chooses to change the girsa and set it up as a case of mezid. Rav Acha b'Rid Rav Amas Nilei Behedja. Am Rabbi Bar Abaye Hidbik Pas B'Tanor Hitira Lo Lirdosa Kodem Shiyavo Lides Iser Skila. So we'll say so again. So therefore, Rabbi Bar Abaye understands it to be that halacha lemaisa, that's the shaila. If a person goes ahead and sticks bread in the oven, is he permitted to go ahead and remove it prior to coming to an Iser Skila or not? That becomes the fundamental shaila. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is, yes, one would be permitted to go ahead and violate a smaller rabbinic transgression in order to go ahead and save themselves from a biblical prohibition. So if someone went ahead and intentionally put the bread into the oven, they don't care. They know it's Shabbos. It just doesn't matter to them. They're choosing to bake off the bread. And then the individual does tshuva, that he would be permitted to go ahead and remove the bread from the oven to avoid the iser skila, even though the act of removing the bread from the oven ultimately is what? Is in and of itself an iser dirabanan. So the Gemara goes weiter. Pasha ta'ani es yado. So what's I say the Gemara? So what's say now we come to a fascinating sugya as well. So remember again, going back to the initial case, really just, we're still in the first case of the Mishnah. Pasha ta'ani es yado lifnim, v'nasa nasoch yado shabal abayis. So we'll say what happens. The ani is holding his, whatever, we'll call it his basket. So what does he do? The ani, who's standing in Rosh Hashanah, comes to the house of the balabayis. He goes ahead and, we don't have time to go into it, but I'll just say this sugya, by the way, of just the ability to transgress smaller things in order to save oneself from larger transgressions is a fascinating sugya. Maybe we'll do it as one of the topics of the upcoming Lunch and Learns, but there are so many halachic ramifications of this, and also what one could do for the sake of the other. So just understand, we closed out the case over here, but the sugya itself is much more expensive. So good. So the Ani standing in Rishus HaRabin, he extends his basket into the Rishus HaYochid. He places his basket into the hand of the Balabayis, and in that case, the Mishnah said that halacha lamaisa, the Ani is chayiv. The Ani has performed an act of hotzah. When he places the basket into the hand of the Balabayis, he has committed an act of hotzah. So the Gemara says, Amai chayiv? I don't understand why is the Ani chayiv. Vahaba inan akira vahanocha me'agabi makam dalar al dalar v'leka. So this is actually very interesting. The Gemara is presupposing. Remember, we've established it from day one of Masechus Shabbos that in order to be chayiv for hotzah, you need what's called an akira and a hanocha. You need to uproot the item right from a place of rest and place it down once again. So the Gemara is making the assumption that in order for akira and hanocha to have occurred, it must occur from what we call the makam chashuv, from an important place, or a place that's called that's a makam. What's the minimum definition of a makam? A makam that's a dalit al dalit, four tefachim by four tefachim. That's the minimum shear of what's considered to be a legitimate space. So the Gemara says like this, I don't understand. If the Ani is extending his basket into the Rishus HaYochid, and he's placing it into the Balabayis' hand, the Balabayis' hand is not a makam dalit al dalit. I understand if he places it down on the Balabayis' floor, that's a makam dalit al dalit. But the Balabayis' hand is not a makam dalit al dalit. Therefore, why should he be chayv? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Me'al makam dalit, dohavi chashuv, lamehavi hanachaso v'akirasa akira, v'yado lav makam dalithu, v'katani lamasnisin, bein la'akira, bein la'anacha, diktani v'nasal nasoch yadosha balabayis. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara is presupposing, we'll see where this assumption comes from, that akira and hanacha must occur in a makam chashuv, in a substantive, meaningful, appropriate place. As defined by dalit al dalit, the hand does not conform to those measurements. As such, halacha lemaisa, one should not be chayiv. Amar Rabba, hamani Rabbi Akiva. This is incredible. So this is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Do Amar lo ba inan makom arba al arba. Rabbi Akiva says that for hotzah purposes, one does not require a space of arba by arba. One doesn't need dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim. So the Gemara says, this nine, here we go, hazorek mirushos hayachid, mirushos hayachid. Supposedly these are great cases, which we'll see in Meretz Hashem, each of them a bit more in depth. If one throws an object from one rishos hayachid to another rishos hayachid, urishos harabim ve'emtza, but the item flies through a public domain. So you see this case? I'm throwing an object from chatzar to chatzar. So remember again, the akira begins in one chatzar. The object lands in one rishos hayachid. The object lands in a second rishos hayachid, but it flies through a rishos harabim. So what is the halacha? Rabbi Akiva mechayiv. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv for otzah. The chachamim potrim. The chachamim say you're potter. So what's the svara? Rabbi Akiva savra minan kluto kemishahun chadamya. So Rabbi Akiva says that when an item goes through airspace, so ultimately again kluta, what does it means? Once something is absorbed in the airspace of a particular place, it is as if it has come to rest in that particular domain. Look at Rashi, kluta hachefetz hoil v'niklat ba'avira shalushas harabim. Once an object is absorbed in the airspace of the public domain, kamisha huncha bisocho hu, it is as if it has come to rest inside of the actual rishus harabim. Afa gav delonach. So we'll say a dramatic halacha, a dramatic and overwhelming halacha. Kluta kamisha huncha. We're going to spend a lot of time on this later on. The idea being that when something flies through the airspace of a particular area, it is as if it has come to rest. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds: if you throw an object, I'm standing in rishus hayachid one. I throw the object, it flies through Rishus HaRabim, lands in Rishus HaYochid number 2, I'm in violation of an act of Hotzah, because it is as if the item has come to rest in the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Sabri, the Rabbanan hold, Lo Armin HaKlut Kemishun Chadamim. No, we don't say that if an object flew through the airspace of a Rishus HaRabim, it is as if it has come to rest. So what's the fundamental machlokes? Lameimra, the pshita le l'rabba, the bekluta k'mishun chadamya. So we'll say, so again, remember what we're trying to figure out over here. We're trying to figure out why is it that the ani will be chayiv for placing his basket in the hand of the balabayis. If what? If the hand of the balabayis is not makom dalid al dalid. You understand? The shayla goes both ways, right? It's whether the ani is placing it in the hand of the balabayis or the balabayis is placing it in the hand of the ani. Why would you be chayiv for an act of otzah when you transfer an item into a different domain and you place it into the hand of the individual standing in that second domain? The hand is not a makom chashuv. It's not dalid al dalid. To which the Gemara suggests, first suggestion is, it's Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah affects with Rabbi Akiva. Because what does Rabbi Akiva say, Rabbi Osei? Rabbi Akiva says that once an object comes into the airspace of a domain, it is as if what? It has come to rest in that domain. Oh, so if that's the case, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, once you place the object in the hand of the balabais, it's ki'ilu what? Kilo is already resting on the ground. Right? We'll say again, if Rabbi Akiva is going to say that when the object flies through the airspace, it's as if it came to rest, then of course if the object is placed in the hands of the balabais, it's as if it came to rest as well. So that could be. So which Gemara says, the Meimah, the Pshitalei the Rabba, the Beklut, Kimishun Chadamya, Ubisoch, on the base, Ubisoch, Asara Pligi. So we'll say, so therefore again, are you okay setting up this case that halacha lemaisa, that according to Rabba, the machlokes in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is in a din of kluta kemishuncha, that is in the din ultimately again of when something flies through airspace, is it considered to be at rest or not? And also this must be a case of what? Besoch asara. This has to be a case where when the object flies through the Roshus Harabim, it is flying through how? Within 10 tfachim of the ground. Now, why are we setting it up that way? Look at Rashi. So also remember again, we're going to see that Rishus Harabim, public domain, has an airspace. It only extends up to 10 tfachim. Above 10 tfachim, ultimately, again, is a makom ptur. Is a makom ptur, is exempted area. So it must be that this machlokus in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is talking about an object that flies through the Roshus Harabim, but within 10 tfachim of the ground. And the machlokus in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is whether or not you say klute kemishuncha. Do we say that when something flies through the airspace, is it considered as if it comes to rest or not? Rabbi Akiva says it's considered as if it does come to rest. The Chachamim say it's like it doesn't come to rest. The Gemara says, "Bahami by le Rabba," but the truth is, Rabba had this shayla. The by Rabba lemata miyod pligi. You'll be setting up the machlokes in Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim as dealing with the case of an object that flew through the Rishus Harabim, less than 10 tefachim off the ground. Ubaha pligi, and this is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Akiva savar kluta kemishun chadamya. Rabbi Akiva holds that when an object flies through Rishus Harabim, it is as if it has come to rest. The Rabbanan savri lo aminun kluta kemishun chadamya. And the Rabbanan hold, we don't say that when an object flies through airspace, it is as if it has come to rest. Avalamala miyud. But I will say, for argument's sake, if the object flies through Rishus Harabim, but what? Flies through above yud, above 10 tefachim, Divrei Hakol Pater. Everyone agrees in that case, then what Rabbi Osei? I'm Pater. Why am I Pater? Because Rabbi Osei, effectively what's happened? The object has gone from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid. So we will see, by the way, one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid might still be an Issa Drabanon, but it's certainly not an Issa Hotzah. To which the Gemara says, Avalamalam Yud Divrei Hakol Pater, Uladukuli Amma Lo Yafinon Zorek Mimoshit. Wow. But Osei, now the Gemara says something else. And by the way, everyone agrees that we do not learn out the halachos of throwing an object from halachos of handing an object. Now listen, now what does that mean? Take a quick look at Rashi. Zorik mi moshit. Rashi says, Di'ilu b'moshit mi rishos hayochid rishos hayochid derech rishos harabim afilu lamala miyud kamerlam aparak azorik dechayiv. So I'll say, listen to this. As much as we just got finished saying that the airspace of a rishos harabim only extends to up till 10 tefachim, and above 10 tefachim is a makom ptur, that only applies if you're throwing objects. If you are handing something, then halacha lemaisa, the status of Rishus Harabim extends even higher. Where do we get that from? So again, we'll see this more in depth a little bit later, but the Gemara says, we learn this out, the Yalif, me'agolos shel midbar. We learned this out from the wagons in the desert. So we'll say these are talking about the wagons which transported the boards of the Mishkan. Shemoshitin esakrashim mizulazu vehin rishos hayachid ubeneim rishos haravim velo hayu zarkim also shlo yiskalkulu. So we'll say they would hand the wagons, they would hand the boards from one wagon to another. The wagons were above 10 tefachim. They would not throw the boards. They would only hold the boards. And as we will learn, this is an Isser on Shabbos. So even though, again, if you throw an object, if you throw it l'mala miyud, it is not a problem. But if you hand an object l'mala miyud, it is still a problem. So we see Rabbo says, so according to that, we're setting up the cases as follows. That halacha l'maisa, in a situation where I'm standing in Rishus HaYochid 1, I throw an object. It goes through Rishus HaRabim and lands in Rishus HaYochid 2. Am I chayiv or not? Rabbi Akiva says, I'm chayiv. Chachamim say, I'm potter. The Gemara now is saying, what are the parameters of that case? It must be that what? The object, when flying through Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi says, flying how? How? Lemata miyud. Within 10 tefachim, Rabbi Akiva holds, kluta kemisho hun chadamya. The object that goes through airspace is as if it has come to rest. The Chachamim say, kluta shelo kemisho hun chadamya. No, flying through airspace is not as if it came to rest. And everyone agrees that we do not learn the halachas of throwing from the halachos of handing, right? Because I always remember again, the halachos of handing tell you that the avi of Rishus HaRabim extends how? Even higher than Yud. We're not learning that out. O Dilma, perhaps the other way to frame the machlokes. O Dilma, lemalam Yud pligi. Maybe they do argue ultimately again, even in lemalam Yud. Ubaha pligi. And this is what Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are arguing about. Rabbi Akiva savar yalev zarik mimoshit. Maybe Rabbi Akiva says, we learn out the halachos of throwing from the halachos of handing. And just like if you hand objects lemala miyud, that is problematic. So too, if you throw objects lemala miyud, it is also problematic. Aval lemata miyud, but if the object flew through the Rishus HaRabim, lemata miyud, divrei hakol chayiv. Everyone will agree, ultimately, again, that you will be chayiv. My time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, Aminon, my time, Aminon, kluta kemishon chadamya. Maybe, in fact, everyone agrees with the principle of kluta kemishon chadamya. And the only machlokis is what? Does the concept of kluta kemishon chadamya apply lamala miyud or just lamata miyud? So the Gemara says, halokasha. So the truth is, no. I'll tell you why. That's not a question. I'll tell you why. Basar di by hadar if shitilei. Because ultimately, again, after we asked it, we subsequently answered it. The Sav Rabbi Akiva, kluta kemishon chadamya. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Akiva holds kluta kemishon chad. Rabbi will say, ultimately, again, that the machlokes that we're dealing with over here is about kluta kemishon chadami. That's the fundamental machlokes. Do we say that when something goes through the airspace of a Rishus HaRabim, it is as, or Rishus HaYachid for that matter, it doesn't really matter, right? Do we say when something goes through airspace and it never comes to rest, do we say going through airspace is the equivalent of coming to rest? Or not. So what's interesting about, as far, so just understand where we're holding right now. So remember, keep our eye on the ball. What are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out why is it that when the Ani places his basket down in the hands of the Balabais in the Rishus HaYachid, that he's going to be Chayiv. After all, what seems to be lacking over here? What's lacking? Makom Dalad al Dalad. Makom Chashiv. To which the Gemara's answer to that so far is maybe our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva holds, Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. That when something goes through airspace, it's as if it is at rest. Therefore, when the Ani places his basket in the hands of the Balabais, we don't look at the Hanukkah taking place in the hands of the Balabais. Rather, where do we look at it as taking place on? On the ground. On the ground. Simple enough. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe Vidilma, Hanukkah hu de lo baya, ha kira baya. Maybe Rabbi say it's only Akira, the lifting up of the object that has to be done from a makom dalet al dalet, but the Hanukkah does not have to be done on a makom dalet al dalet. Now, both say, why would you think to make the distinctions? We've already seen this. If you think about this, Akira is the dominant part of Hotzah, right? There is no way to have a Hotzah, right? There is no active Hotzah that could result in liability without Akira. So maybe the Akira has to be done from makom dalet al dalet, but the Hanukkah doesn't have to be done. Rashi says, "V'doma hanachu udelobaya midikon Rabbi Akiva mechayiv, aval akira baime al makom dalid midelokat Rabbi Akiva mechayiv shtayim." Now the Gemara makes an amazing observation. Watch this. So right, I'm standing in Rishus HaYachid. Listen to this. I'm standing in Rishus HaYachid. I throw the object. It goes through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and lands in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If we really hold Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, did Rabbo say, how many times should you actually be chayy for this act?
Twice.
Why? Because it should be considered as if the following. Right? I threw the object from Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, that should be like, it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that means I'm chayiv once for the act of Rosh Hashanah Hayachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And then what? I should be chayiv a second time from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Hayachid. But yet Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that. What does that tell you? So maybe what that tells you is as following. Kluta Kamisha Huncha maybe works Lagabe Hanocha, but it won't work for an Akira. Akira maybe requires a makum dalet al dalet. So hanocha, which is kind of like the secondary part of hosah, that you can say kluta mishuncha, right? And that even, and that's why people say even if you have a makum that's not dalet al dalet, it's going to be okay. But akira requires a makum dalet that absolutely incredible. To which the Gemara says, "Vadilma hanochu de lo baya ha akira baya ela amar Rav Yosef ha money." Whose opinion does this reflect? Rebbe he. To which the Gemara says it's Rebbe. So hey Rebbe, which Rebbe are you referring to? So the Gemara says, Ilei maha ha Rebbe disanya zarak v'nach agabe ziz kol shuhu. So I'll say if he says the following Rebbe, listen to this case. A person throws an object, and the object comes to rest on a ziz. A ziz, Rebbe will say, is just a protrusion. Look at Rashi. Zarak mirushos harabim metchilas dalid l'sof dalid v'nach agabe ziz. So we'll say a person throws an object, he's standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And what happens? He throws, remember, as we're going to discuss, the other way you could go ahead and violate is if an object travels Dalet Amis in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So a person throws an object, and the object goes ahead and falls on top of a pole, we'll call it a pole, a protrusion. And that protrusion ultimately, again, right, ziz. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, so, v'nach al ziz kol shu, Rebbe mechai v'cham potrim. Ultimately, and Rebbe says you're chayiv, and the Chachamim say that you're potter. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rebbe is going to say you're chayiv, even though what? Even though, again, it's not a makum dalet al dalet. So you see from here that a hanocha need not take place on a makum dalet al dalet, but maybe an akira must take place on a makum dalet al dalet. And the Chachamim say that you're potter. To which the Gemara says, Hasam, Rebbe said, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Rebbe tomorrow. Shkoyach.